of the Power of Us podcasts are not licensed therapists, medical professionals, legal advisors, or certified experts. The views and opinions expressed by the host are based on personal experiences and are intended solely for informational, inspirational, and educational purposes.
Hello, my name is JJ Holly.
And I'm Monica Daniel.
And welcome to our very first episode of The Power of Us. This is a show that's dedicated to bringing awareness to resources in our community that just help solve problems. And today it is our distinct pleasure to welcome our Justice of the Peace, Mr. Wayne Mack.
How are you doing?
How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. I think this is so great you're doing this.
Yeah.
There's so much power in us.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
We underestimate that.
Yeah. And that's a big deal, is us coming together and just helping people know that there are resources out there. Sometimes the worst thing you can feel is alone and no help. And so that's why we're here. But tell us a little bit about your background. You have a very interesting history.
Well, I'm very blessed. I moved to this county 40 years ago to take a non-paid internship working in the youth department of a church. And to fund that, obviously, I had to have some work. And so I learned of an opportunity at the courthouse in the maintenance department. Well, by the time I applied, they didn't have anything like that, but they did have a night shift custodian. Mm-hmm. And so I applied and was hired and started as a custodian in the same courthouse that now calls me judge. So I tell people my memoir is going to be from janitor to judge and all the crap I cleaned up in between.
Yeah, literally and figuratively.
Figuratively, yes, and literally, yes.
Well, I know mental health is a huge cause for you because you see so much in your courtroom. What are some of the things that you saw that made that such an important focus for you?
So until January of this year, in addition to our judicial responsibilities, I was also the coroner. We just in Montgomery County, we became the 14th county that has a medical examiner's office now. So prior to that, I had to be on the worst case scenario, worst scenes that you can imagine, where people have made a permanent decision for a temporary situation. And so I kept seeing this consistent theme of the brokenness of people not knowing where to go, what to do. And so that's kind of what, I don't know what the word to use, but made me aware that we needed to do something different here in our county. And so it became very, very much a passion for me because weekly and daily in my courtroom, at the jail, you know, and then doing the coroner duties, I was reminded of how people felt hopeless and they felt alone. And I knew we could do better as a county. And so that's where I felt like my passion began. And then my own lived experience. I've had family that struggle with their brain health. And so it was real, very real to me. And people not knowing where to go or what to do.
I think it's commendable that you took action. You saw a need in the community and you took action. We're under attack. Our youth are under attack.
Yes.
Mental health under attack. And one of the reasons why we wanted you on because of your passion and what you bring to the community. It is amazing. And your story of janitor to judge, custodian to judge. That is a beautiful story because it gives our youth hope.
And you know, hope is the most powerful force in the world because you can take any setback and any disappointing thing, and if you have hope, all the experts, the science, like psychologists, psychiatrists, all say that the quicker you can give somebody hope, the less likelihood, and you lessen the impact of post-traumatic stress by simply giving someone hope. We know and it's so great that you've said this because we know simply by asking somebody, are you okay? Mm. Depending on the study you look at, they're anywhere from 70 to 80% more likely to not make a permanent decision for a temporary situation simply from saying, are you okay?
Yes.
Because when you ask somebody, are they okay? It naturally says somebody cares for me. It gives them hope. Somebody does, I do matter.
simply, it's a lot better than just saying, how are you doing? Exactly. Because then we all say, fine.
Yeah, yeah, it's our standard. Yeah, we're fine. We're good. You know, it's, and it, you know, we, the other part of this is our behavioral health suicide task force here in Montgomery County. We want to create a culture where it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to not be fine. Mm-hmm. And, but then knowing there's that safety net in place to guide people to what that looks like, whether that's for their faith, whether it's counseling, whether it's a medical intervention, because, you know, there's a big difference between mental illness and mental health. What we know prior to COVID, they said 1 in 5 people were going to have a mental health event in their lifetime. Mm. Since COVID, depending on the study, it's now gone, depending on the age group, 1 to 3, 1 to 4 will likely have a mental health event in their life. And so, again, having a community that has that awareness and also know what to do and what to say. One of the most tragic things on some of the scenes I've been in over the years where people were just like, we didn't know what to do. We didn't think they would. They said they would or wanted to, but we didn't know what to do. And so, you know, my faith teaches me that people perish for a lack of knowledge. Mm. And so why I'm thankful for your program. That it does, people do matter. And having understand you live in a community that cares.
Absolutely. And it's one of the reasons why we started The Power of Us. We wanted to bring all types of resources to one platform to allow people to be able to see, excuse me, what's out there. And you spoke about your task force. Can you tell us a little bit more about your task force and how that came about?
Wow. So yeah. So Kim Hess and I made a pledge 9 years ago when Cassidy made a permanent decision for a temporary situation. And we had an event at the Woodlands Methodist Church, and there were over 1,000 people there. And we pledged that day that we were going to pull down the veil, and we were going to put some light on this very dark and difficult health with people's brain health and suicide and feeling desperate and hope. So her and I began that at that point, and we, for 4 years, her and I were both saying, we need a task force. We need to come together as a community. We need to look at what the resources are. 4 years. Well, I was at a township meeting, and her and I made a presentation at the township about brain health and suicide prevention and awareness. And I offended a Houston Chronicle reporter. And so he met me in the lobby after. Oh. And we went at it for a good 20, maybe 30 minutes. And I remember leaving the meeting because I had to get home. And my wife called me and said, how'd it go? I'm like, well, the presentation went great, but I think I'm really in trouble with this reporter. Well, that was on a Thursday. On a Sunday, the article came out. And it was a great article. Mm-hmm. And it talked about awareness and my call to the township. Hey, we need a task force. Mm-hmm. I've been saying for 4 years, we need a task force, need a task force. And so that Monday, my phone's ringing. I'm in court. My staff is bringing me and saying, hey, there's so-and-so, this ism and that ism's on the line. They want to talk to you about your task force. I'm like,
yeah, my task force.
I said, we need one. There isn't one. We need one.
Absolutely.
And within that first few days, by the 10th day, we had over 20 different institutions that had said, hey, called and said, we want to be a part of your task force. So I took that as a pop on the back of the head going, oh, we're going to have a task force. And so Kelly Locke with Connor ISD at the time called me and said, hey, myself, Connor ISD, and Texas Children's, we had something similar to what you're talking about a year ago. We'd like you to speak. And I'm like, well, we're about to do a task force. How about we come together? So on a Friday, we made a phone call, had the convention center, and we made the ask to the community. We had 450 people sign up for this thing, which was just remarkable. And we had every school district and every faith and government and law enforcement and professionals and people had lived experience that were walking in that. And 450 people signed up. 461 people showed up. Wow. It was remarkable. And from there, became the Montgomery County Behavioral Suicide Task Force. And this in May was our sixth year. And what it's done is we got 12 work groups, and notice I didn't say committees, work groups, because everything dies in committee. Uh-huh. And so we have 12 work groups and all the isms. And if your viewers want to go to community help, not health, but communityhelp.org, they can see the task force and all the things that are going on there and what we're doing in the community. And, you know, this little thing called COVID showed up a year later, and we were ready.
Wow.
We already had all the players in place. And so when the ARPA money came through, we already had programs to recommend to the commissioner's court to do.
So you could apply for some grants.
Yes. Oh, yeah, the ARPA money.
Because you've got to have some dollars to make it work.
Yes. And what I love about our collaboration is we are not an ISM. We're not a 501c3. We're just everybody that cares in our community coming together and with collaboration. And force multipliers, and we've been able to do some outstanding things for Mosaics of Mercy and the NAMI and American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. There's a long list of things that we've done. Tri-County Behavioral Health. There's a lot of things we've been able to do, and it talks about the power. You know, it's really the power of us.
Absolutely,
because there's so much synergy when like-minded people come together, and your only thing in your only desire is to make it better. And it's been so powerful, so powerful.
Absolutely.
What are some successes you've seen from the consortium?
So one of the things was raising awareness and actually having what we call a Talk Saves Lives presentation. Getting people to go to mental health first aid classes. You know, if I was to grab my chest right now, you would automatically, and I start telling you I have arm pain, shortness of breath, what would you automatically think?
Heart attack.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. How do you know that? Yeah. Because you've had training and awareness. Mm-hmm. You may have watched Grey's Anatomy. I mean, any number of things. You have awareness. You've had that conversation. It's you know to at least call 911. Well, we in our communities are having people that are having brain heart attacks and people not knowing who to call. And so one of the great things is raising that awareness that it's okay to not be okay and to direct people to the sources, resources, being able to Mosaics of Mercy, to be able for them to get to the level that they're at with they're a third party family navigators, and they guide people to the resources, no matter what their insurance are their needs, or if they have insurance, don't have insurance, and whatever it has been able to do. We've seen a great rallying of the faith community coming together and offering services to the community, raising the awareness from the standpoint that, you know, if you're having a mental health event, you know, the answer isn't always just pray more. Mm-hmm. You might really need a talk to a counselor, a psychologist, a psychiatrist, mm-hmm. And raising that awareness. The biggest success though, JJ, is bringing all the players together and having these conversations and people figuring out who's doing what. Mm-hmm. There were people that were doing great, great work, but had no idea that somebody just across the county or across town was doing the same exact thing and could benefit from their best practices. School districts coming together and talking about what's going on in their schools, Conroe ISD sharing with the other school districts in our county what was working and their best practices. And the other part of that is we had a gaps analysis that our task force brought together and got the funding for, and we were the first county in Texas to do a gaps analysis, not just from us what law enforcement's doing or what the judicial branch of government is doing, but what is the faith community doing, what are our hospitals doing, what are our nonprofits doing, and seeing where the gaps are. And that was huge. It was a huge success. It's given us some great long-term goals for our community.
And you mentioned coming together, everyone. Again, that is what the power of us is about. Yes. This platform is about bringing everyone together, all the resources together, and kind of put our heads together and see what we can do to fill the gaps.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's, and I think that's the biggest part of the success of this, is that we, everyone that's there is because they want to be there. We have the 12 work groups that work throughout the you know, they have work group meetings and looking at mission statements. And again, if you go to communityhelp.org, you can see the what's happening there. But then we have what we call the mothership meeting, the third Thursday of every month at Tri-County, where all the work groups come together. And we usually have a speaker of something, because we want people to leave with more than what they come with.
Yeah.
And encouraging. And these are people that are doing the work. So we want them to leave encouraged and to keep doing the good work. But yeah, also
the mental health practitioners need some mental health, you know, counseling as well.
Exactly.
They're on the tip of the spear, and they're hearing these horrible stories.
And, exactly.
Yeah.
And you can't give away what you don't have.
Yeah.
Right.
And so we try to replenish that and be able to help them with that. And it's just so much synergy in there. It's just remarkable to me. People just being there in the room, you leave there going, yeah, we got this.
What would your advice be to someone who needs some type of help and just don't know what to do? What is the process? Is there a process? What is your take on that?
There's several things. So if someone's in crisis, where everything's just like the sky is falling, first thing anyone can do, and if you're with somebody, you and I are together and you start telling me I'm in this really bad spot and I wouldn't know what to do. I haven't had a mental health first aid class, and I'm not a practitioner. I'm not a professional counselor. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is take your cell phone out and call 988.
988.
And you are instantly connected with a professional that can help you manage that crisis and be able to de-escalate that situation. And of course, if you're ever where it's really, really bad and you feel like somebody's in danger of doing harm to themselves or others, we'll call 911, obviously. In Montgomery County, we have actually Constable Cash and the Sheriff Department, under Sheriff Doolittle, have mental health deputies. That's all they do is respond to their crisis trained interventionists. So they are crisis trained response, and so they're trained in dealing with it. So that's crisis. Somebody that is just, I need help and don't know what to do. You can also get direction from calling 988, because they'll plug you into that next step. But Mosaics of Mercy. If it's not an immediate crisis, an immediate need, and you're looking for a counselor, you're looking to talk to somebody, an eating disorder, addiction, trauma from, something that terrible's happened to you and you realize you need to get help on it, calling Mosaics of Mercy in our community is great, because they are the navigator. They will say, okay, well, this is, and they're most of them are licensed professional counselors. So they know how to speak into that. And so with that need, but the biggest thing is having the courage to tell those around you that you love and care about for accountability purposes. Because like JJ and I were talking about earlier, you know, how you doing? Oh, I'm good.
Yeah.
But asking, are you okay? And always trust your gut.
Mm-hmm.
Always, if you're with somebody and it's off, always trust your gut.
Mm-hmm.
and get to that next level, the next level of them knowing that you're there to help them and support them, and mainly knowing that you're not alone.
Absolutely.
Knowing that you are not alone.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you feel alone, I think of the situations I see in my courtroom, and if I think about it long enough, I'll start crying just because of the brokenness of people just being the victim of most of it has to do with their decisions, but making a difficult decision that isn't in the best interest of them or their family, and then recognizing the accountability of, you know, you're in a courtroom, we're gonna peel the onion back and we're gonna say why are we here. You know, what are we doing next? But understanding that you are okay, and it's okay to not be okay, and that you are not alone. I think that's the biggest thing for an individual to recognize. I'm not alone.
And people should also believe in themselves and second chances.
Yes.
Life gives you second chances. Don't ever feel like you don't deserve a second chance, because you do. You absolutely do.
Absolutely do.
And you mentioned your courtroom. Would you like to speak about a day in your courtroom and what you do?
Well, justice courts are the highest volume courts in Texas. So we see every flavor of the judicial branch of government. And 90% of Texans that interact with the judicial branch of government are going to happen in a justice court. So we see everything from lawsuits, evictions, anything you can be written a ticket for young people driving under the influence, minors in possession of drugs or alcohol, drug paraphernalia. We see animal cases, you know, bite case, and whether that animal should be taken into custody. We were the original court of jurisdiction in our county for everything regarding to truant conduct. Mm-hmm. So children not understanding that, yeah, since COVID, yeah, going to school is still a thing. Mm-hmm. And
still gotta go to the classroom.
It's against the law for you not to go to school, yeah, to class. And then the lawsuits, we have a jurisdiction of $20,000 or less. And so we see, that's a long list of things that I see. There are sometimes in some cases, people will say stuff and I'm kind of looking around and go, is somebody punking Marie right now? They didn't just say that. And they did. And so, I love what I do. You get to help people every day. And
well, you're known for bringing chaplaincy and compassion into the courtroom.
Yes, we start every court session. We started a chaplaincy program as a result of the coroner duties. Mm-hmm. And it's still going. In fact, we're actually growing it.
Wow.
With the help of Brett Ligon, our sheriff, and our chief police in Conroe, and our constables, we're actually going to grow the program. We're in this stage of growing it. So it's a countywide presence versus just being when I was on call or north of the 105. And so very excited about that, because chaplaincy kind of is that bridge between the secular and the spiritual, and they're there to, again, offer hope.
Right.
The quicker you can insert hope into a situation, the less likelihood of the damage of a post-traumatic stress situation. And I've seen death in every form or fashion when I do with this job. And that's where I recognize the need for the chaplaincy program, because a lot of our fire departments and law enforcement agencies, they have chaplains, but it's for their team and for the needs of their team, where this is more designated towards the victim or a family that doesn't have anybody to help them. And thank you for bringing that up, by the way.
Absolutely.
So what do you do to keep your mental health healthy? Because you're seeing bare things every day.
Yeah, great question. Yeah. This is what I'll tell you. Is the first thing is my faith in God. My faith in God and that He's with me. And also giving myself grace to be where it's okay not to be okay. Mm-hmm. And so then my family. Family is very, very important to me, and they're the why. And then the third thing is I have a therapist. Mm-hmm. Because you got to be able to unpack
absolutely
the things that you can't deal with. You need to have somebody, a third party, speaking into that. Because our brain, none of us that are watching this today would think anything about saying, I have a dentist.
Yeah.
And I go every 6 months.
Right.
Well, you do that because you don't want your teeth rotting out.
Right.
Well, the biggest organ in your body that controls every function of your body and who you are and your joy and your happiness and your effectiveness, you need to have somebody to help mm-hmm. you clean that up. Mm-hmm. And make sure there's not things growing there that don't need to be there.
I always call it a mental tune-up.
Exactly.
You know, you shake your car and you get the oil changed.
Exactly.
Why not?
Exactly. And again, 10 years ago, I, even though I had that, I wouldn't have talked about it because the stigma that goes, oh, okay, right. He's a therapist.
Oh, you must have some real problems.
Yes, you. There's something. Yeah. Some
you've
dark
got problems. Thing. I don't have problems because I'm fine.
I'm fine.
Exactly. See, folks, Josh is just like us.
Yeah. Yes, and having somewhere to do that and do that regularly is very, very, very important.
Yeah. And Mindy, too. I mean, your wife, Mindy, she was a 911 operator. So she was, you know, hearing some traumatic things.
And what was bad is for her, though, is she would our communications officers in our community are the true first responders because they are the first one on every bad thing and every bad day that somebody's having. But they would never get closure. Because they don't know what the outcome was. Mm-hmm. They don't know how it ended. They just know they heard someone screaming on the phone, telling them all the reasons why they needed somebody there. Yeah. And so...
The unknown.
The unknown. Absolutely. And yeah, it was... And she retired in January, and Conroe PD did look back in the records. She is only the third person since 1978. That's how far the records go back.
Oh, wow.
That has retired from that job. The average communication officer, I think, is like 2 or 3 years because you see and hear people in their darkest, darkest time. Mm-hmm. And it takes a special person to be able to push beyond that. So, yeah, Mindy and Mindy and I both.
How long did Mindy do that?
20 years.
Wow. Yeah,
wow.
20 years.
That's amazing.
Yes. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And her and I have that same value system. Very important that you and your wife or your husband, people around you, understand the importance of your brain health. And we make a great team.
Yeah, you do.
I'm blessed.
That's beautiful.
I married way up. Way
up. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you think we should? One of my big takeaways from every time we have a discussion or hear you speak is not how are you doing, but are you okay? And call 988.
Yes. Call 988.
Yes.
So what else are we missing?
Well, I don't know if we're missing anything as much as it's very, very important for us to lead ourselves, that we understand the importance of being able to recognize when we're not okay. Mm-hmm. And doing something about it, and taking that initiative to do that, giving yourself the grace that no, you're not the only person feeling that way, and just because you have this, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It means you may have had something bad happen, or bad circumstances, or made a bad decision, but understand there's grace and looking. Into your faith and looking into the people around you that support you, and surround yourself with people. I often tell young people in my courtroom, we have a plaintiff and a defendant table, and I'll say, so if I was to jump up on that table, if you were to jump up on that table, would it be easier for me to pull you down or for you to pull me up? And they always say, well, for you to pull me down. I'm like, okay, the moral of the story is surround yourself with people that are going to pull you up. And you have, you know, my faith teaches me that I have to love everybody. What I don't have to do is give everybody access.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so having those, you know, you can't have a healthy yes unless you have a healthy no. Mm-hmm. And that in relationships, but also in yourself. And I think it's the key to having a great brain health and the tools to overcome is to me, there's two absolutes. Number one, there is a God. And number two, I'm not him. And
you're not omnipotent.
No, I'm not.
You've got limits.
I do. And recognizing that and, you know, wanting to serve others, wanting to serve others. The most unhappy people are the people that haven't figured out their purpose, and their purpose is to serve. That's everyone's purpose. We're designed to serve. We're designed to work. We're designed to help others. And if you don't do that, I think that's one of the reasons we have this implosion. The other thing is this little thing right here.
Oh, yeah.
That people beautiful, my granddaughter. Oh. Beautiful, my great granddaughter, Addie. Dog. But this here, right here, look at your screen time.
Yes.
And then look how much time you spend with your family, mm-hmm. and with yourself, mm-hmm. and helping yourself feel connected and self-regulation, mm-hmm. and that felt safety. A lot of fear and a lot of things get put on this thing, a lot of
comparisons.
Yeah, yes. And this is when the smartphone came out, juvenile death by suicide doubled in 1 year. What has continued to go up is attempts to die by suicide have just gone on all age groups. This is what we know from the CDC, that if you're in between the ages of 10 and 35, it's the second leading cause of death. 10 to 35. Suicide kills more people than cancer in that age group.
I did not know that.
And wow. So, again, having that awareness and having that conversation, speak to your children, mm-hmm. and have a, you know, it's very disappointing to me when you walk into a restaurant and everybody's mm-hmm. sitting there.
Yes.
Whether they're 80 or 8,
yep.
yeah. everybody's on their phone. Yep. There's no connection. Mm-hmm. There's no felt safety. There's no let's self-regulate and set this thing down and let's have us time.
Yeah.
So long answer to your short question, mm-hmm. but I think recognizing and having a real conversation, mm-hmm. and understanding, again, that it's okay to not be okay, but then do something about it. Can't keep doing what you've always done and expect a different result.
Got to work the problem.
Work it.
Yeah. Right. It's okay not to be okay. And like Judge mentioned, surround yourself with people that's going to build you up, not bring you down. Each and every one of you are special. You are loved. And if you feel that you're not, you can always reach out.
Yes.
If you're on social media, reach out to a friend. You may not know the friend, reach out. You just never know who's in the wings waiting. You are loved, you are cared for, and you are special. And there is someone out there that will help you through whatever it is that you're going through. Just know that you are loved. And Judge, we are so grateful to have you here today. You just gave us a wealth of knowledge. And we are grateful for that. We are grateful for what you do in our community. Again, it's one of the reasons why we wanted to share this space with you and to share with everyone else. And is there anything else that you would like for us to know about you before we decide to?
Well, I don't know as much. I'm awkward talking about me. But while we're in this space, people say, well, what can I do? How can I change? Well, you can get involved in your church and in your community. We talk about our task force. But you know something that's really lacking in our schools is Montgomery ISD, Willis ISD, Conroe ISD, and I'm sure other schools do, but those are the ones that I'm aware of, have a mentoring program. Mm-hmm. And when you do what you're designed to do, and that's to help others, the school districts in those programs have identified children that are at risk. You give 30 minutes of your day, you bring them a lunch, do it once a week. Mm. And it just is, I'm on my sixth child that I've mentored and still in contact with every one of them. Some of them we've had bumps along the road, but we've had some great success stories. But I think one of the things it talks about our mental health is we are designed to give back. We are designed to give. And I think one of the reasons I'm able to function at the level that I function from the standpoint of seeing the broken things and not get jaded by that, and not think, oh man, people are bad. And you know, just about when I figured out, you know, humanity is, there's some really broken things, and I've seen it all, then I see something else. But I say that to say this is give back and the power of us,
absolutely.
The power of giving back. So any one of those school districts, you go to their website, they have a mentoring program and it's so, so needed. But not only just children, but mentoring your children, mentoring your grandchildren, mentoring those people around you. We should always have a mindset of what can I do to make this better.
Thank you for that. If you feel like there's someone that's in need, follow us on Facebook. We'd be happy to have you and be a part of our community.
Yeah. Judge Mack, thank you. This is a excellent first interview for us, and we appreciate your time, all you do, all Mindy does, and
yes,
tell her good luck with her next endeavor.
Yes.
Thank you. Real talk, real change. Thank you for sharing this episode with us.